Confidence to Lead is the podcast for leaders of growing companies. Providing insights, advice, and information, it will empower you to make bold decisions in your business. Here's your host, Sarah Bartholomews, CEO of U Legal.
Hi, and welcome back to Confidence to Lead. This is episode 6 in our series, and today we're going to be continuing to discuss director's duties. Today we're going to start with the duty to avoid conflicts of interest. If you're already a director, you're probably familiar with the term, but do you know how it applies to you as a director? This duty overlaps with many other duties that I've covered in the podcast, and it's essential to your role as a director. As a director, you're expected to promote the interests of the company above your own personal interests. Where a conflict exists between your interests and the interests of the company, it's your responsibility to give preference to the interests of the company. Directors are required to disclose all material personal interests within the requirements of the Act. This duty is underpinned by the qualities of trust, loyalty, and good faith that directors are expected to exercise when they're acting for a company. To illustrate, I'll tell you the story of Mr. Berry, who was the director of a shipping company. Mr. Berry was given the responsibility to organise the services of a cleaning company to clean the ships before they set off to sea. It was later revealed that Mr. Berry owned the cleaning company he had engaged and was making a profit behind the backs of the other directors. Mr. Berry should have disclosed this conflict of interest to the board. Consequently, as a direct result of the breach, the board immediately dismissed him from his position. Conflicts of interest can also arise when a director resigns. Generally, resigning removes any conflict of interest. However, I've heard many stories of directors resigning from their position only to set up a company in direct competition with the old company. Directors who do this may find themselves in hot water. Not only will this constitute a breach, but it can be a breach of contract and potentially the breach of another duty, misuse of information and misuse of position. The duty to avoid conflicts of interest stems from a general law requirement to avoid conflicts of interest and not make secret profits. The duty to avoid conflicts also overlaps with several provisions of the Act. These are the prohibition on improper use of position and information found in sections 182 and 183 of the Act, and the requirement to disclose material personal interests in section 191. A company's constitution and bylaws may also specify the procedures to be undertaken when a conflict of interest exists. Directors should always make sure that they're aware of these procedures. So, I hear you ask, what exactly is a conflict of interest? The Act does not contain a specific definition. Broadly speaking, a conflict of interest could exist where a director's personal interests conflict with the interests of the company. This includes both actual and potential conflicts. The possibilities are therefore endless. There are just a handful of examples that I will explain that might arise for you as a director. Proposing a deal from which you might personally profit. Proposing a contract personally with the company. Sitting on the board of a direct competitor of the company, using information or your position to take advantage of a business opportunity that you would not otherwise have had access to. The conflict itself is not strictly the problem and can be avoided by full disclosure. As soon as you become aware of a potential conflict of interest, let the board know. Follow the disclosure rules. It's always better to be safe than sorry. In the case of South Australian State Bank and Clark, Mr. Clark found himself in a rather awkward position. Clark was the managing director of the State Bank of South Australia, and he was also a director and majority shareholder of another company that would indirectly benefit from the repayment of a loan facility from a purchase made by the bank. At the time, the State Bank of South Australia Act 1983, Section 11, required a director with a direct or indirect pecuniary interest in a proposal before the board to disclose the conflict as soon as that director became aware of the proposal. It also required a director with such an interest to avoid taking part in a board decision or deliberation of a decision regarding a proposal. Mr. Clark failed to disclose his personal conflict of interest, and as a result, he was found to have breached his directorial duties. If Mr. Clark had made a timely disclosure of his conflict of interest, the result might have been much different. The take-home message is that conflicts of interest will inevitably arise during your directorial term. When conflicts do arise, you should handle the matter in a way that doesn't breach your duty of loyalty that you owe to the company. In many cases, disclosure of the conflict of interest will be required. Although directors must always put the interests of the company before their own personal interests, this does not mean that directors cannot have any personal overlap with the company at all. Many directors hold shares in companies that they direct or in related companies. So what should you do if you find yourself in a situation of conflict? Under Section 191 of the Act, you have a duty to notify the other directors when a material personal interest arises. Again, the Act does not specify what a material personal interest is, but it is generally taken to mean a matter of some real substance which has the ability to influence your vote. You must give details of the nature and extent of your interests in the matter to the rest of the board and provide all the details to the next director's meeting as soon as practicable after you become aware of the conflict. The Act also sets out the circumstances in which the directors are not required to disclose their interests, as well as the procedure of disclosure at a director's meeting. The duty to avoid conflicts of interest is especially important when it comes to self-dealing, which refers to situations in which a director is on both sides of the transaction or contract. As an individual on one side and as a company director on the other. In these circumstances, there's a clear conflict of interest. As an individual, a director would no doubt prefer his or her own interests. It's human nature to be self-interested. However, there are steps that can be taken to ensure the transaction is valid. For a private company, these steps are set out in Section 194 of the Act and may require disclosure to the board. The interested director may then still be entitled to vote on the transaction and be entitled to any benefits he or she may receive from that transaction. In a public company, the restrictions are more stringent, but also begin with disclosure to the board. The director is then barred from being present and voting at the meeting where the matter is being considered. If you violate your duty to avoid conflicts of interest, you may be subject from both civil liability, including fines of up to $200,000, disqualification from managing a company, an order to pay compensation, and criminal sanctions if your conduct was reckless or dishonest. It's important to remember that the law does not care whether or not you actually received any personal gain or whether the company suffered any actual damage. If you have a conflict, disclose it. Before we move on to the next duty, we're going to have a quick look at what might happen if a contract is entered into in breach of the conflict of interest duty. A contract entered into in breach of this duty may still be valid if proper notice was given to the other directors of the company. This notice must be made in accordance with Section 191 of the Act and is necessary in order to provide the other directors with an opportunity to judge for themselves if the contract in question may be beneficial to the company. In order to make the contract valid, 1. The presence of the director involved is not necessary to constitute a quorum in a meeting at which the contract in question is approved. 2. The vote of the director involved is not necessary to approve the contract. 3. The contract is reasonable under the circumstances. And 4. The contract is within the power of the company to undertake. The absence of any of the requirements above will render the contract in question voidable. The duty to avoid conflicts ties in closely with the duty to not make improper use of position. Join us next week to consider the improper use of position under Section 182 of the Act. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch, please feel free to email me or give me a call. My contact details are on our website, ulegal.com.au. Look forward to chatting to you next week.